Series. Our series is called Inside Yourself. And what I want to talk about today is listening to the warning inside. Now, I want to ask you a question. How many of us would be honest enough to admit that there's been some time along in our lives where we wanted to do something, but something inside, an alarm inside, said, don't do it. But we wanted to do it, and so we deliberately ignored that, pushed it down, and followed our feelings and did what we wanted to do. How many of us will admit that maybe we've done that? Okay, I think that's just about all of us. How'd that work out for you? Most likely not real well. So, you see, here's my point, is that people are constantly falling into temptation. That's just how life is. But some people will move into immorality, run around on their spouse. They will watch things, look at things that they really shouldn't be watching or looking at. And they're like compromising a little here and a little there. And it's not that they don't know the right thing to do. That's not it at all. See, the problem is that they're just not training themselves. They're compromising themselves. And so what happens is we end up following our feelings instead of being led by the Spirit. And when we follow our feelings, bad things happen. But when we're led by the Spirit, nothing but good things can happen. So if we're going to have the abundant life that we want, if we're going to have the life victory that we talk about, that Jesus came to provide for us, if we're going to have that, we've got to pay attention to the warning on the inside of us. You see, the truth is this, is that every single one of us, every single person has a built-in alarm. And when we get close to things that we shouldn't be doing, or when we're about to go down into a road of danger, when the Lord wants us to realize that there's danger ahead, this alarm goes off. And what it is God's telling us, God's trying to help us. He's telling us, don't go down this path. Change courses, because there is devastation awaiting you. Now, what we do is when we enter into these particular times of temptation and we kind of want to override our inside, what we're hearing on the inside, that alarm, we say things to ourselves like, oh, I can hang out with these people. I know they're a little bit looser than I am, but they won't affect me. I'm strong. I can handle it. Or I can watch this. I can look at this, and it's not really going to bother me. I'm a Christian. I went to church Sunday. I am strong. I can handle it, you see. And that's not the way it works at all. In fact, the Bible teaches the total opposite from that. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17, it says here, you, therefore, beloved, and these are Christ followers, beloved, beloved, seeing you know these things before, we should know these things, beware, lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, doing what they do, doing what the people that we know shouldn't be doing those things, yet we get attached to them, or looking at things that we shouldn't be looking at, doing those kinds of things, fall from your own steadfastness. Steadfastness, your place of strength, your foundation, where it should be, where you are strong. If you're not cautious here and careful here, the Bible clearly tells us that we'll fall. I don't care who you are. And when you push down that warning on the inside, that's what's going to happen. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:12, so if you think, talking to believers, if you think you are standing firm, that's when you really, really, really got to be careful. When you think you're invincible, when you think you're beyond it, when you think you're standing, you be careful that you don't fall. So no matter how steadfast you think you are, how spiritual you are, you can live at church, it doesn't really matter because it's gonna get you. Anyone who pushes down that alarm on the inside, anyone who deliberately ignores it and does their feelings, is going to get burned. And if you play with fire long enough, what happens? You will get burned. If you run with the wrong people long enough, you're going to get in trouble. If you look at the wrong stuff long enough, what is going to happen is you're going to end up in trouble. And I don't care how spiritual you think you are. These things will happen to anyone. Eventually, you will become like those people. Eventually, those things that you know you're compromising in will take a hold of you, and you're going to miss God's best plan for you. So if we're really going to have the life of victory that we all want to have, if we're going to live the life of abundance that we all want to experience, a life for ourselves, a life for our families, a life for generations to come, we've got to learn to take heed of what we're hearing on the inside and the warnings that it gives us, because this is God trying to direct our lives and trying to tell us, look out, there's a problem ahead. All of us are familiar with the story of the Titanic. The Titanic was this huge cruise line vessel. Nothing was ever built before like the Titanic. It was larger than even the war vessels. You know, it was this huge luxury liner. And it was built unsinkable. That's what they said. That was its claim to fame. This is an unsinkable ship. And they were so sure that this vessel would not sink that they didn't even provide enough lifeboats for everybody to have a place in a lifeboat if something were to happen. That's how assured they were that this thing would not sink. So it came time for it to take its maiden voyage. It was about to leave and come to America, cross the Atlantic Ocean, and the who's who of that day lined up. Man, they were coming, the wealthy, the famous, and they got on board. But even before the ship left, there were warnings about icebergs. There were heavy ice and warnings about the icebergs right in path of the Titanic. The warnings were, change your course. Don't come across here. But did they listen? No, they didn't listen. Took off, heading for America. They'll make it in record time. Here they were coming on this Titanic. Well, they began to get these warnings. And on the April the 11th, they received six warnings of heavy ice and big icebergs. And then on April the 12th, five more warnings. Three more warnings on April the 13th. And April the 14th, the bad day, they had seven warnings, 21 warnings. At 11:40 that night, the unthinkable happened. The Titanic filled with water, hit an iceberg filled with water, split in half, sunk to the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean, 1,500 people with it. The saddest thing about the story about the Titanic is it could have been avoided. It could have been avoided, and all of those lives didn't have to be wasted. The main thing that we learn about the story about the Titanic is that change course, turn around, do something before it's too late. You see, there comes a time in all of our lives when we have pushed down and moved the voice that we're hearing inside, that warning on the inside. We've deliberately ignored it so long that it just gets too late and we hit the iceberg. And not only do we devastate ourselves, we devastate others. We destroy lives. We hurt people. It's devastating when you hit the iceberg. And so what we're after about learning today, and the lesson that I really want us to go out of here with today, is to listen to, hear the warning on the inside. Turn around. Make adjustments in the path that you're going. Because if you don't, you're going to get into trouble. And someone says, well, you know, Delbert, I'm not going to get into adultery. I'm not going to mess up like that. You know, it's okay if I flirt a little bit. You know, that's just my character. I'm friendly. I'm a little over-friendly sometimes. I'll admit that, but it's okay. You better look out. There's an iceberg in your path, and there's one coming. And if you open a door to the enemy, he's going to put an iceberg on your path, and you're going to have some trouble down the way. What I'm wanting us to hear is don't go against your conscience. Listen to your conscience. And I want to tell you, the Bible has a whole lot to say about conscience. But I want to read you one verse that I think kind of summates what I want to say about this. It's in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 19. It says here, cling tightly to your faith in Christ. And one way that we do this is always keep your conscience clear. I want to point out two main thoughts here about this verse and what it's saying about the conscience. And the first one is, make sure you cling close to Christ, and if you will, then you can keep your conscience clear. Then here's the second one. For some people have deliberately violated. What have they done? Deliberately violated their consciences. Did it on purpose. Heard it. Alarm went off. But deliberately violated their consciences. And as a result, what happened? Their faith has been what? Titanicked. Shipwrecked. Split open. Sunk. Taking lives with them. See, when someone's faith is shipwrecked, that simply means that their life is shipwrecked. Their life has been devastated. And realize that seldom is it just bam, an iceberg pops up in front of you. There's warning after warning after warning. The Titanic received at least 21 warnings to change course. But it wouldn't do it. And the thought on the Titanic is, who do they think that they are? We're this big, huge cruise ship. They're not just talking to any little cruise ship. We're invincible. And the Bible clearly says is that when you get like that, watch out. You're not invincible. And we get warning after warning after warning, but we will deliberately violate our own consciences. And we'll sink. And we'll bring others down with us as well. I know of a family who began going to church, and a beautiful family. The children were well-behaved and well-mannered, very polite. The couple became very involved with the church and all of its ministries. They loved the pastor. They loved the teachings. They loved the ministries that were in church and got very involved in them. And things were going really well for them. It looks like God was really moving in their lives and blessing them. And then began to notice the pastor began to notice that their faithfulness wasn't as it should be. And those are things, folks, realize that if you've got a good pastor, they realize when something's not right in your life. There are certain key things that we key on about you to know how close you're getting to an iceberg. And so the pastor realized that some things weren't right in their life and they weren't as faithful as they once were. And especially the wife. The wife became more and more distant from the people in the church. Sure enough, one day they came and told the pastor, said, "We're going to leave the church. Oh, we want you to know, nobody's upset with you. Nobody's upset with anyone. We're not mad at anything. We just feel like God's told us to stop going to church and to take a sabbatical." Let me stop here a minute. Never come to me and say, "Delbert, God told me to stop going to church." That ain't God. What you just told me is I'm getting real close to an iceberg, and I'm about to sink and shipwreck my life, and I want you to leave me alone. Let me do it. Sure enough, they left the church, and the pastor was upset about it, but what could he do, you know? What could anyone do? We began to hear things coming down the pipe, how the wife was going to these girls' night out things and going to bars and clubs and was beginning to be hit on by some guys. It was such a sad thing, and a woman that I know that knew them was invited to go along with them. But she told me, she says, "Delbert, I felt that just wasn't right. I felt like it wasn't good." What was she doing? She was feeling that warning, that alarm on the inside that was saying, "Don't do this. Don't go here." She didn't go. But the woman kept going and kept hanging out with these girls' night out thing. And next thing you know, sure enough, she's found a guy there having communication, emotional attraction, and link-ups. And wasn't long we heard that the family had separated and divorced. It had split, just like the Titanic, and sunk, and took those beautiful children right down with it. Sad. It's so sad. You see, I think the husband thought that he was invincible. He was a Christian. God wouldn't let that happen to him. But he sunk his family. He ran it right into an iceberg. You got to be cautious. You got to be careful about how much you communicate with people of the opposite sex if you're married. You got to be cautious how you communicate, because with communication becomes emotional involvement and attachments. And if you have a spouse that says, you know, you would say, "Well, my spouse doesn't communicate with me well," then what you've got to do is to go the extra mile. You've got to kick it up a notch, and you've got to press in. And you've got to get communication working there. Because if you don't, it's going to be bad. Or maybe you're the spouse that's not good with communicating, and we all know when we're not communicating with our spouse like we should. We all know that when there's something, a barrier, something happening. Well, listen, we got to fix that. We got to work on that. And we got to press in, and we got to work on our communicating skills. But we've got to make sure we're communicating with our spouse, because if you don't, somebody else will. And so it becomes very, very important. And don't be a person who says, you know, well, Delbert, my spouse, they don't understand me. And, you know, women specifically will say, they don't understand me, and I found this other person, this other man, and he understands me, and I can talk to him, and he understands me, and I'm going to tell him all my problems and all my woes and all my depressions and all my bad things, and he understands. You better look out. That's just not an alarm on the inside. There's flares going up, and you're about to have a disaster on your hands. See, this is what the Lord's really wanting us to say, to understand and go out of here with today. Listen, instead of spending time developing communication with that person, spend time developing and working on your marriage. So many marital problems could be avoided if we would just heed the warnings on the inside. I know this isn't the most exciting message you've ever heard. You kind of look at me like a cow looking at a new gate, you know. but this is the kind of message that will save your life. This is the kind of message, this is real life. It'll save your marriage. It'll keep you from devastating yourself, other people. It'll keep you from injuring your children beyond repair. And it'll mostly keep you on God's plan A for you, His best path for you. See, the enemy never tells you the bad parts. The enemy wants to show you the luxury liner parts of it, the excitement, the newness. That's what the enemy wants you to see. He doesn't show you the nights when you're laying in bed depressed. He doesn't show you when you're laying there crying your eyeballs out. He doesn't show you when you can't eat because you're so upset. He doesn't show you the devastation that just took place with your family or with your children. He won't show you the iceberg. What he does is he just lets you get there and bang. And the next thing you know is you've devastated lives and you've devastated your family and people that you love and care about. And you've ripped apart. And you've taken people and your children with you. I heard that 5% of marriages beginning with infidelity survive. Now, let me explain what that means. 5% of marriages beginning with infidelity survive. That means that a person is married and they have an affair with another person, hook up, and eventually divorce their first husband or wife and marry this other person that they fell in love with. That marriage has a 95% chance of failing. And most times when that happens, it even increases because most times the person who you hooked up with is also going to be married. And they have also done the same thing that you've done. They've left who they were married with, divorced, and hooked up with you. See, the enemy doesn't show you how this works out. What the enemy doesn't show you and tell you that, look, what makes you think that this person leaving their husband and marrying you is not one day going to leave you for someone else? What makes you think that because you left your first spouse or spouse and married somebody else, what makes you think that one day you won't leave the one you just hooked up with and marry somebody else? See, the enemy doesn't show you that. There's a 95% chance that's what's going to happen. And that thing's going down. In all of my years, period, not just ministry, but all of my years, I can only recall one marriage that began in infidelity that made it. And it's because they fixed things. They went to work. They recognized they were having a situation and a problem. You see, the problem is not the spouse. The problem is character. Let me read you this verse. It's in the book of Proverbs, chapter 25, verse 28. It says, "He that hath no rule over his own spirit, over his own character, is like a city that is broken down and without walls." What does this mean? Your spirit is your character. And when there becomes a flaw in your character, your walls, your defense weakens. And in those days, it was very, very important to have walls around the city because that was the primary means of defense. And when a flaw got into a wall and it collapsed in that area, it made that area vulnerable to attack. And so if you have flaws in your character, and the way you know is what tempts you. Where does your temptation come? Well, this is the area in your wall that is weak. And if you don't fix it, if you don't strengthen that area up, it will collapse and you're defenseless. And then you will go under attack after attack after attack after attack. One marriage after another marriage after another marriage after another marriage until you fix that wall. Or one addiction after another addiction after another addiction until you fix that wall. We've got to learn to listen to the warnings on the inside. And because the way a flaw gets in a wall is by deliberately ignoring the warnings on the inside. And it doesn't matter the greatness of your integrity or your character if you push down the warnings and deliberately ignore the warnings on the inside. Now, some of you here today are on the very verge of compromise. And you've heard the warnings. And so far, you've been able to push them down. And so what God is trying to do for you today, it's not an accident that you're here. What God is trying to do for you today is to warn you, give you another warning. And some people will see this on television. I want to tell you right now, if you're watching it on television, I want you to know it's not an accident that you're hearing this. And some people will get it on the internet. And if you're watching this on the internet, realize God's got you watching this because He's trying to warn you. God loves you so much. He's trying to sound an alarm, shoot off flares, do everything he possibly can to give you a warning so that you'll change courses and you can have the best life possible. God loves you that much. There are two kinds of pains in life. There's the pain of discipline, and then there's the pain of regret. The pain of discipline is nearly weightless. And it only lasts for a few minutes. You just say no, you know, and it's heavy. You want to do it, but no, I'm not going to do it. And it only lasts for a few minutes. You're disciplined, but the pain of regret weighs tons, and it'll last the rest of your life. I've got a dear friend, and. And while I was preparing this lesson, I thought of him. And so I called him and I asked him if I could use his situation as an example. He said, certainly. He began his marriage in infidelity. And he is one of the 5% who made it. But it's because he fixed his walls. He built up the flaw in his life. He fixed the flaw. And what happened is that he was like the poster boy for his area. He was pastoring a church. The church was setting his area on fire. It was growing. He was doing great. But he allowed a flaw in his wall. And there was a woman in the church, and he became attracted to her. And they began communicating. And, of course, that brought emotional tie-ups and links. Sure enough, physical things happened. And then eventually he divorced his wife. And he lost his church. He lost his wife. He lost his children. He hurt innumerable people. He devastated. He split. And he sunk. And he took with him all of this, all these people. So I was asking him. I said, man, can I use that? Now, if you don't want me to use it, that's fine. He said, certainly use it. And so I was asking him, you know, I said, what about the warnings on the inside? You know, he knew what I was sharing about. And I said, what about the warnings on the inside? He said, I only got about a million of them. And he says, Delbert, he says, I felt like I was invincible. I felt like I was doing so well that I was above that. And I felt like I was invincible. Until, and here's what he said, and I'm gonna tell you in just a second how he replied to me when he was asked a question. But he says, I felt like I was invincible until the arrow hit my liver. I'll show you that in just a second. Three of us were together one day, and the other preacher that was there, it was three of us together, and the other preacher that was there asked this one, said, would you do it again? Would you, if you could go back and do it again, because this was years later, and the marriage that he has now is a really good marriage, would you do it again? And I want to be real careful how I say this. I want you to know I'm being discreet as I can, but I want it to impact you. I want it to impact all of us, and I want to quote him. He was asked, would you do it again? And he said, hell no! He said, listen, he said, I have a good marriage. God has restored me. God has blessed me. He said, and he's taken me a long way back. He said, but the pain I caused myself, the pain that I caused people, the pain I hurt, caused on my children, the pain I brought people into, the pain I caused innumerable people. He says, no, I would never do that again. And he said, I said, well, what would you do? He said, I would fix my marriage. I would restore my marriage. He says, I was invincible until the arrow pierced my liver. Now, I knew what he was talking about, so just to make sure I put it in the notes so that you would read it too, and you would see it. It's in Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 22. It says this, all at once he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose, until an arrow pierces his liver, like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life. The reality is this, is that we can make one decision that will alter our destiny. We can make one bad choice and it will forever change what we could have been. We can make one bad decision and it forever changes what we were supposed to be. And we need to remind ourselves that. And every time that we're tempted, every time we sense a weak spot in our wall, every time that we sense this happening to us, we need to remind ourselves, this one decision can change me and hundreds of other people forever. This one decision can change me. And my friend said, God gave me path B. He restored me. He blessed me. He's blessed our marriage. But my friend knows, and he'll tell you, I missed God's best for me. I missed path A. If you've made this mistakes in the past, and please realize I am not. Everybody's been in this arena where we've pushed down the thing on the inside and did what we felt. And so what I want you to make sure that if you've made mistakes in the past, please don't feel condemned. What I'm really trying to do today is make sure that you avoid icebergs in your future. If I can get this across to you where you hear this warning on the inside and you can miss one iceberg, then it's good. Because you see, some people think that God will not allow you to mess up. God will stop you. That's not true. The Bible is very, very clear here. God will put before you life and death, and blessings and cursings. He puts them before you, but you're the one who eventually decides to make the decision and chooses. Let me read you this passage. It's in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. Says there, this day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Please, God says, I want you to choose life so that, don't miss this, so that you and your children live. I can't tell you the damage that my friend did to his children. It's amazing the damage that running into one iceberg does to your children. He'll warn us. He'll shoot off flares in the air. He'll do everything he can. But he will not stop you. You choose. And sometimes it's so sad, but for a short-term appetite, for a short-term satisfaction, we'll sell our destinies. The Bible talks about this with Esau. Esau had a brother named Jacob, and they were brothers, they were twins. And Esau, one day, he was just hungry. And Jacob, his brother, had cooked this pot of beans. And so Esau says, I want that pot of beans. And Jacob says, I'll sell it to you, I'll trade it to you for your birthright. Now, the birthright in those days were amazingly powerful, amazingly important. It's your destiny. And he says, I will sell it to you, I will trade it to you for your destiny. And Esau traded his destiny, traded his birthright for a pot of beans. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 12 and verse 16, it says this, make sure that no one is immoral or godless like Esau. And what he's talking about here is that meal, that pot of beans. He traded his birthright as the oldest son for a single meal. And afterward, and there's always an afterward, and afterward, when he wanted his father's blessing, he was rejected. It was too late. And even though he wept with tears, though he wept bitter tears, he couldn't get it back. He changed, he altered his destiny for a very short-term satisfaction. And you can weep and you can cry, but it was your fault. Young people, I want you to hear this so much. Listen, don't let the appetite in the back seat of a parked car change your destiny. Don't let that short-term appetite change who you could be. You get pregnant in that back seat. That'll change your life. You'll never be able to be, oh, God loves you. God will give you plan B. God will give you the best life that He possibly can. But you have altered your destiny. And you'll never be who you could have been. I believe God is dealing with many here today. And maybe it's not in the area of relationships. Maybe it's your weight. Maybe yours is watching stuff on the internet that you know you shouldn't be watching, or getting videos and images and seeing these things and you know you shouldn't be doing it, and the alarm's going off and you're saying, well, I can get by with it, you know. But let me tell you what's happening to you. You're getting all these deranged images in your mind, and it becomes very difficult for you to look at a man or a woman, whichever one you know, to look at that without it being an impure image. See, there's an iceberg ahead of you. And if you don't change courses, it's going to be bad. No matter what your situation is, no matter what you're facing, no matter what your weakness in your wall may be, I'm wanting you today to realize what it is and beef it up there, strengthen that image. You are not invincible. Nobody is. Some of the most honorable people and the most people of integrity that I've ever known got a flaw in their wall simply because they pushed down the image on the inside. Learn how to rule your own spirit. Keep your wall strong. Be people of character and people of integrity. Keep your conscience clear. Don't allow that arrow to pierce your liver. Don't wait until it's that late. See, God is setting before each of us today life and death and blessings and cursings. He's asking you, He's begging you to please choose life. Don't do like Esau and sell your destiny for a short-term appetite. Keep your conscience clear. Stay close to God. And if you will, God's going to give you plan A. You're going to live a life that's unbelievable. You're going to have such an amazing marriage, such an amazing family, such an amazing life. And you're going to say, wow, I have listened to the warnings on the inside. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our message. Thank you, Lord God, that you're challenging us and calling us, Lord God, to heed the alarm and the message that you're trying to share with us on the inside. So, Father, I pray today now that you've spoken to every person here. We all relate to this. But Father, I hope we're just not hearers of the word. Father, I pray today that we're going to walk out of here being doers of the Word with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Some of you are on the verge of an iceberg. Heed the warning. God is trying to save you. Others of us know we have flaws in our wall. And we need to beef it up there. We need to strengthen that area so that we can have a defense. So, if maybe that's you today, maybe you're in an area and you know you just want God to help you be strong. That when the attacks come, that it's not even really a temptation anymore because you're heeding the conscience and you're disciplined. If that's you, and you would just say, Lord, help me be strong. When these times of temptation, the temptation to do wrong, Lord, I just pray you'll help me be strong so that I will not destroy myself. I will not destroy my family. I will not destroy other people. Help me, Lord. Strengthen up my wall. If that's you, would you just, along with me, raise your hand and say, let's pray about this. See hands? Hands going up everywhere. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. We just ask you to help us now and bless us. Father, we're being as honest as we can be. And Lord, I ask you right now, Lord, that you will strengthen us. Father, I know that some of these here have made mess ups in the back and in their past, Father. But Lord, we've dealt with all of that. Father, my prayer today is that, Lord, they'll hear this word and they'll not make mess ups in the future. And that, Lord, we can sail through life unhurt, unharmed, and have your best plan ever. So, Father, this is my decree, and this is what I speak over this body, that, Lord, we heard this today, and you're going to strengthen us, and we will heed the warnings on the inside and not deliberately ignore them. Head still bowed, eyes closed. Now, some of you are far from God. You're not where you need to be with God, and you know it. Now, the problem is this. When you get far from God, the Bible calls it your conscience being seared. As with a hot iron. What that simply means is your conscience is so seared and so hard that you really can't hear that warning on the inside. And what happens when you become a Christ follower is something called the circumcision of the heart or the circumcision of the spirit. And all of that hard stuff is cut away so that you can hear the warnings and the directions that the Lord wants us to have. And Jesus died and shed his blood so that you can have a right path, a blessed path for life. And you know, you're hitting iceberg after iceberg after iceberg. There's bad situation after bad situation after bad situation. And you will not ever have a great life until you come to Christ and begin to heed the warnings on the inside. So if that's you today, and you want to fix that, and you'll allow me to pray for you, right where you're sitting, would you right now, you know you're far from God, you know you're not where you need to be with God. Well, if you right now, will you raise your hand right where you're sitting and let me pray for you? I see a hand right here. Look at me until I see you. See in the back. Any other? See one over here? Any